Welcome to the Lean In Podcast. I'm your host, Russ Mitchell, and I'm so excited to welcome you on this journey of faith as we lean in to love God and our neighbor and bridge the gap between church and community. Through these podcasts, I'll be exploring the stories and people leading community transformation, as well as what faith-based social innovation looks like through a spirit-led community development lens. Be inspired and equipped with tips, tools, and resources that you can use to impact and expand your sphere of influence for God's kingdom. Welcome. In this, the first of a two-part mini-series, I'll be exploring the theme of post-pandemic resilience, how to help your neighbor to endure well. On this episode, I want to explore the changes in society due to the pandemic and its potential long-term impact, what it means to be resilient in this kind of environment, the importance of relationships as we engage our neighbors and seek to strengthen their resilience, as we love on people who have lost hope and are perhaps looking for more stability in life. In the episode that follows, I'm going to dig a little bit deeper into the theme of stability and share the story of someone who, well, let's just say took quite the hit but rebounded from it. Then from stability, we'll advance to resilience, meaning responding well to adversity so that we can withstand it, recover from it, and moreover, move beyond it to a full life. For followers of Jesus, this is the hope we can bring to our neighbors and to the community where we live. And I'm going to be sharing some practical ways that you can encourage your neighbor and strengthen their resilience as you lean in to love folk who are in your sphere of influence. So if you want to grow in loving your neighbor and are passionate about transforming the community where you live, you've come to the right address. From my kitchen window, I'm able to look out to our street right at the place where the crescent makes a bend as it snakes its way through the rest of the neighborhood. In the winter months, our street can at times be full of icy snowbanks piled high. They could obscure one's view of whatever or whoever might suddenly appear on the road. So staying alert and being ready to make course correction is important, especially for the uninitiated driver, venturing the several tight bends in the crescent that they will encounter. It's like after a couple of years of the global pandemic, one might have been inclined to ask the question, are there more surprises ahead, or simply a repeat of what we've already experienced? And even then, when we thought we were beginning to see around the world what looked like an end to the pandemic, a whole bunch of variances appear. Conflict ignites in Europe, there's tragic gun violence that takes place in North America, and an endless list of other things. All around us, we are living on a planet full of division, upheaval, and unpredictable times. But in response to that, we have an opportunity to grow in resilience. That is, again, to adapt and make course correction in the face of adversity, tragedy, or significant stress. But there is more to it. As a follower of Jesus, we are to believe his words, like when he said, "In this world you will have trouble, but take heart. I have overcome the world." That's found in John 16:33. Yet to experience the peace he offers in the midst of everything going on, practically speaking, it may mean making a course correction to your rhythm of life. Author Malcolm Weber, in his article titled Enduring Well, Four Ways to Build Resilience, defines building resilience this way. He says it means changing our inward responses, that is, replacing lies with truth. Weber goes on to say that where we need to make course corrections in order to grow in resilience are in the areas of faith, identity, responsibility, and perspective. I'm going to pick up on these later in the next podcast, but for now, just note that to build resilience is more than just about enduring. Rather, as Weber puts it, it's about enduring well. So I want you to think for a moment about the people you know who live on your street. Which of them may not have endured well in these past months, or maybe currently are struggling in some way? And how might you bring hope to them, as well as others that God brings your way? More specifically, how will you strengthen post-pandemic resilience in the community in which you live? Well, to get some answers, it's useful to first recognize what changes have taken place in society as a result of COVID, because they will have either a positive or negative, excuse the pun, impact on how we go about engaging one's neighbor or community. And also, even though the good news of Jesus has not changed, the means for delivering the good news certainly has. 1 year into the pandemic, Fortune magazine had an article titled 15 Ways Life Has Changed Since the Onset of the COVID Pandemic. More people working from home. Now, it's an opportunity, I think, for us to be able to connect more with our neighbors, on the one hand, and also because of the times of lockdown and isolation, people are longing for more personal connection. Secondly, a distorted sense of time. In other words, when does work or home day begin and end? And some believe that sensitivity to the preciousness of time is disappearing because of this mixing between work day and home day. Thirdly, is the many, many considerations working parents have had to consider and juggling their schedules, and often it's the women of the home that are being pushed out of the workforce to care for the children, and it's impacted careers and family. And fourth is it's shining a light on inequality. To the surface has come that understanding that there's been an underinvestment of less privileged members of society. Fifthly, a renewed relationship with nature. With so many people being at home, there's been more opportunities to improve physical and psychological well-being. In other words, there's been an opportunity to do things outside versus always being stuck inside. On the flip side of that, the magazine reports that we entered into a mental health crisis. I remember one of my neighbors really feeling hopeless and depressed about all that was going on. The outlook wasn't good from his point of view, and he struggled with depression and anger. The seventh thing they list is the way we work out. Lots of people were going to the gym, and I think people are starting to go back to that again. But a lot of people bought equipment so they could just work out at home. Eighthly, a renewed gratitude for essential workers. How many times did you see in magazines or on the news or signage around perhaps where you live saying thank you for all the work of the frontline workers? Ninth, they speak about the pandemic fuel shortages. In essence, it's that supply chain issues that in some cases are still a problem. 10th, remote learning, a lack of personal interaction. And that goes a little bit with another one of their points about a diminished college university experience. My own son experienced that finishing off grade 12 and starting university. And all the things that would have usually happened didn't happen. Another point was the overt discrimination of women in the workplace. And then TikTok's big moment where they helped people to try and connect with one another and also provide entertainment. A 14th idea that the Fortune magazine speaks about is COVID class markers. In other words, who were those who had to work outside their home during lockdown as opposed to those who could work from home? And then finally, a change of appetite. Yeah, online grocery buying really picked up. But on the downside, stores noted that there was a lot of theft of meat, cheese, and over-the-counter pharmacy products, and a big increase in customer aggression. Fortune magazine provides good reminders of where we have been, and they're worth reflecting on in terms of their ongoing consequences. And yet, with another year of pandemic added onto that one, there are probably even more things that have changed for you and me. Recently, concerns around COVID's impact on society in the UK prompted the British government's Office for Science to commission the British Academy, that is, the UK's National Academy for the Humanities and Social Sciences, to write a report on the longer-term impacts of the pandemic on society. In the report's foreword, Professor Sir David Cannadine, president of the British Academy, he paints us a picture of COVID fallout. Here's what he says. COVID-19 has thrived and spread alongside pre-existing social deprivations and economic inequalities. Too many people have experienced the pandemic in ill-suited housing, poorly equipped for working or homeschooling, suffering from damaged mental health, exposed to an avalanche of aggressive misinformation, negotiating the complexities of the social security and criminal justice systems, and balancing new risks while shielding or caring for vulnerable relatives. And regardless of geography, race, or class, the life chances and employment opportunities of young people have been especially bad affected. The Academy's report titled The COVID Decade, Understanding the Long-Term Societal Impacts of COVID-19, notes in its summary 5 key findings. First, in many cases, the impacts are an acceleration of existing trends, factors that preceded and will probably outlast the pandemic. Secondly, it is a pattern exhibited throughout history. Pandemics are as much social and economic problems as they are medical and health ones. Thirdly, the pandemic has exposed, exacerbated, and solidified existing inequalities in society. Fourth, it has made some individuals and groups living in particular places and communities even more vulnerable than before. And finally, and on a happier note, the pandemic has also exposed areas of strength, resilience, creativity, and innovation. There isn't time to go into all of the pandemic impacts noted in the report, but let's stop for a moment to consider at least the first one, which is the increased importance of local communities. Local communities have become more important than ever during the pandemic, with local solutions that have focused on addressing local needs being crucial to the COVID-19 response. But sadly, there are inequalities between communities based on the strength of community infrastructures. And here I'm talking more than just, say, like whether a neighborhood has an accessible community center. When we think about community infrastructure, it is a complex system of facilities, programs, and social networks that aim to improve people's quality of life. United Way of Greater Toronto notes that these services, networks, and physical assets work in tandem to form the foundation of a strong neighborhood. Notice that community infrastructure is a system. It is one of the systems among other systems that you typically find within a city. So the neighborhood that you or I live in is a system. It has purpose and function and is organized in a way that achieves something. To take it a step further, Systems thinking is about exploring what set of factors or elements and interactions are contributing to or could contribute to a possible outcome. It's about seeing the big picture and how the individual parts interact to make up the big picture. In systems thinking, everything is connected. And if we put on a neighborhood lens to see a portion of it, you might have houses, an apartment block, small businesses, a library, neighborhood activities, local grassroots groups that meet, and so forth. And yet at the core of neighborhood systems are relationships and how we interact and engage with each other. Yet the challenges of the current times we live in necessitate that our relational practices change, and change in ways that better support people to grow in resilience. A dear friend and follower of Jesus from the UK recently wrote about how she is expressing her Christian hope and taking steps to build resilience in those she engages with in her community. For her, any changes in relational practices has to begin with a renewed commitment to love others. Here are some ways you can do that. Warm acceptance, really loving people, and I always like to say, without strings attached. We have a group that meets in our home once a week from our neighborhood, and one of the things that we let people know is that they're welcomed here to participate in as little or as much of the group as they want. And they're welcome to come to eat with us, even if they don't stay for the second part, which is more focusing on the things of the kingdom. Both are important, and we want them to know there isn't strings attached. Secondly, practical help, showing you care about addressing needs. One of our neighbors recently was having some physical difficulties, and we took the opportunity to walk her dog. Thirdly, investing time by showing your neighbor that they belong and are valued. Maybe instead of rushing off, you stop and listen and have a chance and learn something more about their needs, their dreams, what's important to them. Fourthly, really listening, yes, both to what people express, and also it's important to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying about it. Fifthly, being vulnerable by modeling it through transparency. Don't expect your neighbors to be open to you if you're a closed book. Sixthly, staying humble, acknowledging the experiences we have are part of a common humanity. Everyone was going through the pandemic. There was something, you weren't above it, but you were going through it. So stay humble. And then finally, trauma processing. Being there to offer prayer for healing from the effects of isolation. Because, you know, it's really affected mental health and well-being. There's been loss of loved ones or crushed goals or upended family dynamics and or job roles. Finally, I want us to think for a moment about the importance of stability. Bishop Bart Pierce of Rock City Church, Baltimore, speaks about the daily turmoil in culture and society along with mounting anxiety. He believes it's because culture has lost hope and are looking for stability in this time of tremendous change. Isaiah 33:6 in the Passion Translation says, God will be your constant source of stability in changing times, and out of his abundant love, he gives you the riches of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. Yes, the fear of the Lord is the key to this treasure. That sounds like pretty good advice for building resilience. So, as we close this episode, I want you to think who today within your sphere of influence could you bring hope to, and offer a way towards greater stability in life. Why not take up the challenge to revisit your own relational practices? Let the Holy Spirit freshly empower and lead you to lean in with God's abundant love and begin to help deepen the resilience of whoever you call neighbor. Praying for that which will lead them to experience life to the full, in Jesus' name. Well, I hope you've enjoyed the content today, and thanks for listening. If you haven't already, please hit the subscribe button. Also, don't forget to visit my website at intoneighborhoods.com. That's intoneighborhoods.com. intoneighborhoods.com. There you will find podcast show notes as well as other useful resources. Finally, I welcome you to join me again next time for part two of this mini-series on post-pandemic resilience, where I'll be again sharing some practical ways in which you can encourage your neighbors. So until then, keep leaning in with love.